120 perfectly good Airbus jets just hit the market basically overnight. But the industry is acting like there's this severe capacity shortage.
Right, because an airplane without a working engine is really just a very expensive lawn ornament.
Exactly. Today is Monday, 1st June, 2026. Elmar, welcome to your daily deep dive. We know your time as CEO of FlySafair is tight, so we're filtering out the noise to give you the specific operational, macroeconomic, and geopolitical intelligence you need to run a South African low-cost airline today.
And we've got a lot of ground to cover. Top headlines this morning, domestically, the Democratic Alliance's funding surge is heavily outpacing rivals ahead of the local elections.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Huge. And in the aviation aftermarket, AerSale is warning that aging fleets and engine shortages are keeping demand incredibly hot. Plus, the takeaways from the ISIS-Shangri-La dialogue are highlighting a heavily armed Asia and shifting defense postures.
Right, so let's just jump straight into the broader aviation landscape, because the narrative around the pilot shortage, I mean, the panic era of that is officially over.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, we're transitioning into a much more mature, sustainable hiring phase.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the U.S. major airlines, they're projecting 7,672 pilot hires for 2026.
Which is, I mean, that's potentially the third best hiring year in history.
Right, so it's not a shortage, but it feels slower. It's like a highway, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were going 120 miles per hour back in 2022, and now we're at 75. It feels slower, but 75 is still fast.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. The baseline for talent has stabilized, which is obviously great for your operations, Elmar. But the margin for error on the balance sheet, that's completely vanished.
Yeah, absolutely.
The era where ultra-low-cost carriers could just thrive on unchecked growth, that's gone. I mean, look at the recent collapse of Spirit Airlines. That just removed a major player from the board.
And the thing about Spirit's collapse is that it wasn't driven by pilot costs. It was fuel.
Yep, 100%.
I mean, fuel spiked to $4.51 a gallon amid all this Middle East tension. For FlySafair, the CEO framing here is really about those competitive implications. You can't outrun a bad cost structure anymore.
No, you really can't. When you're an agile carrier, you have to lock in operational efficiencies right now. Because when fuel spikes like that, it just compresses your margins so aggressively that, it breaks the model if you're not tight on operations.
Which brings us to the physical metal.
Yeah.
Because with Spirit gone, what happens to their fleet?
Right, that's the big question today.
Today's news from AerSale is saying aging fleets and engine shortages are keeping the aftermarket red hot, because Spirit had 120 Airbus A320 family jets, and lessors are aggressively repossessing them under Section 1110.
Yeah, they're pulling that metal back immediately.
But it's wild, because it's like a used car lot suddenly flooded with prime inventory, but nobody has the spare parts to keep them running.
That's the exact irony here. You've got 120 planes entering the market, but effective capacity is still so constrained.
These are the engines, right?
Exactly. The Pratt & Whitney GTF crisis, the AEP engine availability, it's creating massive MRO bottlenecks. I mean, A320neo engines are leasing for over $3,000 per day.
$3,000 a day for a spare engine. That is an insane aircraft on ground cost for an airline operating a 737 or A320 fleet like FlySafair.
It's brutal, and it just locks in the Airbus and Boeing duopoly even tighter. Because, you look at alternatives like the Chinese C919.
Oh man, that's basically doomed in Europe now, right?
Yeah, EASA just delayed certification until somewhere between 2028 and 2031.
Because of navigation software issues.
Right, they found it's highly susceptible to electromagnetic jamming, and China did not take that well. They retaliated by freezing 5 billion euros for 20 Airbus planes.
Right.
So, alternative capacity is just not coming anytime soon.
So you have a tight global fleet market, which is one headache. But for Elmar, paying for those leases and fuel in a weakening local currency is a whole different nightmare.
Yeah, it really is. Let's look at the South African business and macro environment. The rand is weakening right now ahead of the Reserve Bank's interest rate decision.
And inflation is just compounding that pain. Mm. I mean, historical CPI data notes it hitting 164.17 in 2026.
Right. And through the SACEO lens, ZAR depreciation is just, it's a killer. It directly inflates your dollar-denominated fuel import costs and your lease rates,
while simultaneously crushing local consumer sentiment.
Exactly. Discretionary travel spending takes a massive hit when basic goods cost that much more.
But let me push back a bit on that. I mean, isn't domestic travel somewhat resilient, especially for a low-cost carrier? Is there a breaking point where the SA consumer just simply stops flying and takes a bus? or stays home?
Well, there is a floor, right? Downtrading helps low-cost carriers initially, sure. People downgrade from premium airlines to Flysafair. But eventually, if the Rand keeps weakening and inflation eats all their disposable income, the total addressable market shrinks.
Right, the pie gets smaller.
Yeah, so Flysafair is getting squeezed on the operational side by the weak Rand and on the revenue side by these cash-strapped consumers. It's a dual threat.
And what's driving this macro chaos and that huge fuel price spike? We have to look at geopolitics for that.
We do. And just as a reminder, we're looking at this strictly for the strategic impact on global trade and fuel prices. We don't take political sides here.
Exactly. Completely impartial. But the 2026 ISS Shangri-La dialogue just wrapped up, and it really highlighted how heavily armed Asia is becoming and how tense U.S.-China relations are.
Right, with China and Taiwan combat patrols continuing.
Yeah. And at the same time, you've got this U.S. military raid in Venezuela and the escalating U.S., Israel, and Iran conflict.
Yeah.
That has severely disrupted the Strait of Hormuz.
Which is the big one for oil.
Right. And, you know, political analyst Ian Bremmer has this FAFO versus TACO doctrine, basically arguing that the U.S. flexes its military on smaller nations like Venezuela, but they tread very carefully with peer competitors like China.
It's an interesting framework. But redirecting that back to Elmar's bottom line, the Strait of Hormuz closure is really the singular geopolitical choke point right now.
Because it drives up Brent crude.
Exactly. It drives up global Brent crude, and that directly hits Flysafair's fuel hedging strategies. It's an unavoidable cost pressure.
So normally, when geopolitical fear spikes like this, institutional money runs to safe havens.
Huh.
Historically, anyway. But crypto is telling a completely different story this week.
Yeah, it really is. We're looking at market-moving news here. No hype. BlackRock's IBIT Bitcoin ETF just saw a massive $1.41 billion in net outflows in May.
Wow.
Yeah, including a near-record $527 million daily withdrawal.
Wait, I thought Bitcoin was supposed to be digital gold. You know, the ultimate safe haven. But the second the Strait of Hormuz gets tense, institutions are dumping it like a high-risk tech stock.
I mean, that's exactly how they're treating it. Institutional risk managers are just de-risking globally. When things get hot geopolitically, they pull back from volatile assets.
So it's not a safe haven for them?
Not at all. These crypto outflows are really a proxy for broader market fear. It indicates this rotation away from risk, and that could soon bleed into equities and emerging markets.
Which obviously impacts the Rand and the South African economy.
Right, it's all connected.
But while capital is fleeing those risky assets, it's actually doubling down on tangible tech utility, specifically in AI, where the cost of intelligence is just plummeting right now.
Yeah, the AI infrastructure space is wild right now. Anthropic just released Claude Opus 4.8.
And the big feature there is dynamic workflows for coding agents.
Exactly. But broadly, the AI industry is seeing inference costs crash. GPT-4 level performance is now under $1 per million token.
Which is insane because that was, what, $30 back in 2023?
Yep, $30. The cost reduction is staggering.
But to play devil's advocate, cheaper coding bots are cool. But how does this actually help Elmar put bums in seats? Why does Flysafair care about Claude 4.8?
Well, because of what those dynamic workflows and sub-$1 inference costs allow you to do, Flysafair has its AI, Lucy, right? With costs this low, Lucy can move away from just doing simple customer service chatbots. You can use her for complex, multi-step operational tasks.
Like what, specifically?
Like autonomously rebooking passengers or optimizing crew schedules during those aircraft on ground events we talked about.
Oh, wow. So when a plane is stuck without an engine, the AI just handles the fallout.
Exactly. And it does it at a fraction of the cost of a human operations team. It's a massive operational hedge.
That makes a lot of sense. But technology drives efficiency, sure. Ultimately, though, airlines still run on physical commodities. And those markets are just heavily distorted right now.
Highly distorted. I mean, Brent crude spiked to nearly $120 a barrel because of the Iran conflict.
And look at precious metals. Gold has rallied 70%. Silver is up 150% over the past year.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is that the broader equity markets are sort of betting on a swift end to the Middle East war.
Which seems dangerously optimistic.
Very. Analysts are warning that investors might seriously regret that optimism.
I mean, it feels like betting on the weather to clear up while you're standing in the eye of a hurricane. The structural issues haven't gone anywhere.
That's spot on. And if that Strait of Hormuz disruption persists, oil stays structurally high. Period.
And for a South African airline?
Well, for a SA airline, a high oil price combined with a weak Rand, that is a margin-crushing duo. It's the worst-case scenario for operational costs.
So defending against those global commodity shocks requires domestic political stability. Let's bring it back home to South Africa.
Right. Looking at today's news, and again, keeping this strictly analytical and impartial, the Democratic Alliance has seen a massive funding surge.
Yeah, they're heavily outpacing their rivals in the latest IEC disclosures ahead of the local government elections.
And at the same time, you've got this very public fight erupting inside the Government of National Unity over 28,000 untraceable parolees.
I mean, the GNU infighting is like a corporate board fighting over office supplies while the building is actively on fire.
Yeah, it's not a great look for stability. But for Elmar, the analysis here is about how this affects the business environment. The DA's massive war chest signals a highly contested local election cycle.
Which means politicians are focused on campaigning, not governing.
Exactly. It could paralyze local service delivery and infrastructure upgrades, the very things businesses like FlySafair rely on to operate efficiently at airports.
And that GNU instability directly feeds into the Zaire's risk premium, right?
100%. It makes foreign investors nervous, which weakens the RAND even further.
So the ultimate umbrella covering all of this, from the Zaire to oil to local inflation, is the U.S. Federal Reserve. Let's look at the world economy to close out the macro picture.
Right. Polymarket odds currently sit at a massive 98% that the Fed will hold rates at 3.50 to 3.75% at their June meeting.
Because April's U.S. CPI hit 3.8%.
Yep. Fueled almost entirely by that global energy spike we discussed.
So just to summarize this macro trap, the U.S. has stubborn inflation, so they keep rates high. The dollar stays incredibly strong, the RAND gets absolutely crushed, and South Africa essentially imports that inflation.
That is the textbook definition of global stagflation risks.
It's a brutal cycle.
It really is. For FlySafair, the era of cheap capital and cheap fuel is just firmly in the rearview mirror. Yeah. Capital allocation has to be incredibly defensive in this environment.
All right, Elmar, to wrap up today's deep dive, here are the three things to watch this week. Number one, geopolitics and oil. Watch for any U.S.-Iran ceasefire talks and any resumption of shipping through the Strait of Hormuz.
Number two, SA macro. Keep a very close eye on the South African Reserve Bank's imminent interest rate decision and how exactly it impacts the ZAR.
And number three, the aviation aftermarket. Watch how quickly lessors redistribute Spirit's 120 grounded A320s and see if it actually moves the needle on those astronomical engine lease rates we talked about.
Yeah, that will be a key indicator for capacity.
And we want to leave you with a final forward-looking thought. We talked about AI inference costs dropping to near zero and dynamic workflows arriving. Could FlySafair eventually deploy AI agents to dynamically reprice tickets and reroute aircraft in absolute real time during a disruption?
Like completely decoupling your operations from legacy revenue management systems.
Exactly. It's a massive shift to consider as the tech gets cheaper. Elmar, thank you for joining us for your daily brief. We'll be back tomorrow to help you navigate the noise. Have a great day.